Former swimmers looking for a way to give back to the sport in New York City? Reach out to Imagine Swimming. Since 2002, they've been the premier learn-to-swim school with international and American staff, including Olympic champions Anthony Irvin and Eric Vent. Imagine Swimming offers infant to adult classes, plus competitive team options, water polo, and an artistic swimming club coached by an Olympic silver medalist. With flagship locations across Manhattan and Brooklyn, Imagine is always looking for the next generation of swimmers to pass on their knowledge and passion for swimming.
Hey guys, I've been trialing some revolutionary new swim tech, and now you can get your hands on it too. This is EO Swim Better, a swimming evolution in the palm of your hands. Improve your technique with EO Swim Better.
Analyze your stroke technique with EO's Swim Better handset. Go to eolab.com. Use code Brett at checkout and save 10%.
Here we are, mate. Hugo Gonzalez. How you doing, buddy?
Hello. Good. Good to be here. Thanks for the invite. And good to be talking to you and sharing our talks with everybody else that watches this podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks. It's been a while. I haven't had a good conversation with you for a few years now. But, mate, first of all, congratulations on World Championship.
Thank you. Yeah, that was pretty amazing to achieve. I mean, I know there were some top guys missing from the competition, but you know, it doesn't stop it from being a world championship. So I was very excited, especially in the backstroke, because it's been an event that I haven't been swimming the way I wanted for a few years. So now that it's playing on point, I'm very excited. Not for Doha, not just for Doha, but for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah. Now tell everybody where you are right now.
Yeah, right now I'm Colorado Springs. We came here a couple of days ago. Came looking for altitude training to get better. I know part of our team is back in Berkeley preparing NCs, so we're taking the opportunity to be training in altitude. I mean, OTC is a great place to be. I think there's some swimmers and the U.S. national team training as well. So it's a great environment to be here right now.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but I thought there was a rule where foreign athletes weren't allowed to go to the OTC in the Olympic year. Has that changed?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I know in 2021, I wanted to come here, but I wasn't allowed. But I have a slight feeling that changed. I mean, last year at World Championships, I know that Marchand was here and he races for France. So I don't think there's going to be that much of a problem this time for us to be here.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's good for you. That's awesome. But mate, to take us back to Doha real quick, why did you decide to go there and compete, unlike some of the other top athletes?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have that many. I wouldn't say we have two swimmers per event in Spain. So it's always good to hold my team. We're trying to qualify some brilliance for the Olympics. So taking the opportunity that I was already going to compete there, why not try individual events? You know, like I didn't see that much of a point going there just swimming relays. So I also wanted to test myself. It was the first long course racing that I got in the season. I only had one more race before that one. It was short course meters for Spanish nationals back in December. So it was a good test to see where we are at, and it looks like we're better than ever.
Yeah. Well, mate, the impact that you had in that particular race, that win, I was actually in the stands that night watching you, and I was sitting next to the Spanish coaches and officials, and my God, when you won that race, I mean, first of all, they're screaming the loudest in the stands, then you win the race, and the celebration that was happening. I mean, I could see tears in their eyes. What it meant to them was something a little bit unique. You don't really see that type of emotion very often. Why do you think that your win, that event, was so heartfelt for the team?
Yeah, I mean, I usually focus more on myself. You know, focus on the process and individual performances, because at the end of the day, swimming is an individual sport. But right after I finished the 200 backstroke, I was walking through the mix zone, and I was told by the Spanish interviewers that was the first goal for a Spanish swimmer at World Championships since 30 years ago. Like, nobody has ever done it for 30 years. So I feel like it was not just the fact that I won. I think it's more the fact that I'm bringing gold to Spain after so long. I feel like maybe we've been losing some swimming fans along the years just because we haven't been able to perform the level that we wanted to. And now that we are, you know, putting relays at the Olympics, bringing guys that can make semis and finals and bringing actually medals, I think it's not just a boost for myself, but I feel like gets people going in Spain. So I think it's just a combination of all emotions. It's not, I wasn't racing for myself. I was racing also for everybody that is back. And you don't really see that much emotion into other countries that put, you know, swimmers consistent in the podium. Like if you look at the Australia, if you look at the American team, they always have people swimming at that level, right? So when somebody wins gold, it's great to have that feeling, you know, but it doesn't feel that unique. And for Spain, because nobody has ever done it for so long, it feels more than it actually is, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's just
happy to bring it back to them.
You gave me some perspective there. Now I understand why they were celebrating like that. It was very, very emotional. Well, I guess in saying that, when was the last time Spain won Olympic gold? Do you know that?
My best guess would be Sergio Lopez. I'm not sure if that was 1992.
No, Sergio won bronze.
Bronze. Right. Yeah, yeah. If you're talking about gold, I would say, gold. Well, if you count in girls too, that was Maria Belmonte.
Oh my god.
She won two fly. But if you're counting just men, I think it would be Martin Lopez Subero. He won a 200 backstroke gold. I don't know when exactly, but a long time ago.
I want to say that was 92 as well. You know, that's when Sergio won the bronze in the breaststroke in Barcelona. I'm going to say 92 or 96. I can't remember. Yeah. Someone's going to call me out on that. But a long time ago, I guess, eh?
I think so. I mean, there's been, at least one, if not two generations without actually being able to enjoy that. So, I think a lot of emotion is put into it because of that.
Now, you said some of the best guys weren't there. You train with the best guys. I mean, you're training with Murph and a whole slew of backstrokers at Cal. I mean, any number of guys can swim a 200 backstroke at Cal, it seems like. But talk us through your training group and what that's like.
Well, it feels like I'm, like you said, it feels like I'm in a world championship.
Hang on, your phone flipped. Can you flip the phone the other way?
Yeah, don't know what that happened.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. There we go. Perfect.
I was saying training Cal, especially in the backstroke group, it feels like I'm practicing at world championship levels or Olympic levels. So, you know, now, like with experience throughout the years, every time I'm approaching a final, it's becoming more and more familiar, the feeling. Of course, every final is different. Every final brings a different kind of energy into it. But I'm getting used to having to perform at the highest level, which is what I think is making me better now. It's more about experience and like getting to know how, for example, how Ryan pushes practices, how Destin pushes practice, how Hunter now is pushing practices. Like every single guy is approaching a different way, but everybody is performing at a world-class level. And it's not just the pros. Like we also have Keenan Jones that just joined as a freshman. We have Kobe Memphis, a senior now in the college team. But at the end of the day, what makes it different is that I feel like I don't have to study my competitors once I get to that level. You know, I have that in every day of my practice.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to bring it. Ryan's the type of guy, especially, who's going to turn up to every practice and press. He's not going to have a practice off, is he?
No, he doesn't. And if he does it off, it's not a slow practice. So, I mean, just being next to them and understanding what they do to get better and what they do to stay consistent is what's helping me now a lot to you know, perform the level that I've been wanting for a few years.
How do you switch it off in a competition? How do you stand next to Ryan Murphy? How do you stand next to Hunter Armstrong and compete and race those guys for, you know, the biggest championship there is coming up, the Olympic Games? How are you going to stand next to your teammates and actually turn that switch off to say that these are my teammates?
As opposed to what I think people think, it actually helps a lot to have teammates in the ready room. I don't feel that much of a pressure once I see them, because what it gets into my head is the feeling that I get every day of practice, which is not pressure, just motivation to perform at the best version that we can, right? So when they're there, of course, it gets easier in the ready room. Once we get into the pool, once we jump in the pool before they take your marks, it's like any other practice. I mean, as much as Ryan, can be more consistent or even better at practice or even better at competitions, my feeling towards trying to be as close as what he does, or if not beat him, doesn't go away, you know? So they're teammates outside of the water. Once the race starts, they're not teammates anymore. Mm. And right now I know, like I said before, they were not at world championships. So maybe the history would have been different. But I feel like the competitiveness, like the willingness to try to beat the other guy, doesn't go away just because of teammates.
Right. Now, how have you decided on your schedule in terms of your race schedule? I mean, there was a point in your career and in your life, especially as a young junior athlete, where you were potentially the best IM swimmer in the world. I mean, is that still part of the plan, or have you moved away from IM completely?
No, it's still part of the plan. The main struggle that I have at long course championships, like at the level of Worlds or Olympics, is that the 2 IM and the 2 back are very close. I feel like the first day until the Olympics, like this championships, Doha, last World Championships in Fukuoka, it was the 2 IM, and the next morning was 2 back prelims, and then the afternoon was 2 IM final, right 29 minutes before the semi of the 2 back. So I always had to choose in between what I wanted to do. Last year, we tried to do both. We made 2 finals, but that's not what we were aiming for. And this year, we decided to just go for 1 shot. We swam 2 IM, but we didn't put everything into it because I went 1-2 or 2, I think. Mm. So we were feeling good at backstroke. I know the Olympics backstroke is going to be better before the 2 IM, so we just had to choose. But I never stopped training medley. I mean, I do it every day. It was just a matter of a technical decision.
Mm. Well, I mean, you can change the schedule at the Olympics. I mean, they did it for Leon. They'll do it for you, right?
Yeah. Well, thanks to that change for Leon, I actually got a few extra minutes before the 2 IM. So I might do both. I mean, if I could, I would do every event. I'm just trying to maximize my options.
Yeah. So where do you feel most comfortable? Is it the 200 backstroke? Is that where you feel the most comfortable?
Right now, yes. I mean, I feel like I have still a lot of room for improvement. My PB from when I was 18 years old is still 156. I think I've done things a lot better than when I was 18 years old. So I don't think 155 is the best race that I could ever put together. So I still have high hopes for the 2 backstroke. But I also know that I can swim faster than 156 and the IM. And well, we have some favorites. We have Leon, we have the Chinese Sun Wan. Not sure if I'm getting his name correctly, but we have those 2 guys in 154. I know Carson is also pretty good, Shane or whoever might make the team for the US. So it's going to be a tough event, but it's expected. It's the Olympics. I mean, everybody wants to go and try to be 154 or faster. So if I could, I would do both. Right now, I'm feeling better in backstroke, but I never stopped training IM, like I said. So, yeah, the goal is to swim both. If I had to choose, it would be backstroke as of right now.
Yeah. I feel like just talking to you and just knowing, understanding you and knowing who you are, you've really matured. I feel like you're at a point where this is your year. Like, when you were at Auburn as a freshman, you just seemed like a very talented young kid. You feel now like a very talented, experienced man. To me, that's the impression that I get. You're at a point where, Paris could really be your year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the goal. I feel like when I was at Auburn, it was a change of everything. It was a change of culture. I was coming from Spain. I barely knew English. Didn't know what yards were. I had a really good 4 IM yards, but it wasn't control. It was more like the race happened, So... throughout the years, I feel like I've been learning and gaining a lot more experience, and now I'm swimming way better mentally. So yeah, I mean, the goal I don't think I'm at the point of a career that I cannot get better, and that's very exciting. So the motivation couldn't be higher right now.
Yeah. Tell me about Coach Durden. Tell me about Dave Durden, because my belief is what he writes is good, right? The same as Eddie Reese. I believe what Eddie writes is good. I believe what Dave Marsh writes is good. I believe Todd DeSorbo, the things that he writes are good. But I think the thing that separate coaches like that, the four coaches that I just mentioned, is who they are and how they deliver the workout and how they interpret it and how they can manipulate it. And that's what I get the sense from Dave Durden. I think he's one of the legendary coaches, not because of what he writes necessarily, but the way he delivers the workout. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, totally correct. I feel like, I mean, if swimmers could just read the workout and do it on our own, then we wouldn't need a coach, right? So the difference, like you said, there's many more coaches, but I can only speak from Dave because that's my current coach. But what I feel with him is that whenever he makes a decision about what event we should swim, what practice should we do, how should we approach a specific phase of the season, we always listen because we always know that what he says is there's a very high chance that he's going to be right. So there's no doubt about, there's no doubt about anything that he says. It's full confidence on everything that he decides, whether we should train more, we should train less, we should focus on sprint or on technique or on rest, on recovery. Like everything that he says, we have full confidence that it is probably the best thing to do. And that's where I feel like a group gets a lot of, that unique that Dave communicates to the car group. Yeah. That's what makes us different. I feel like you can have great coaches, but if you miss out on communication, you might not be getting the swimmers to do what you want, right? So it's a lot more about communication, a lot more about confidence than just itself writing the workouts.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, he's giving you confidence. There we go. We flipped it again. You know, he's giving you confidence, but he's got confidence in himself. You know, when I talk to Dave, he never put any restrictions on me coming and filming and talking to anyone that I wanted to talk to and record anything that I wanted to record at Cal. I mean, I've had the same approach from the legendary coaches that I just mentioned. You know, Eddie Reese treated me the same way, Todd DeSorbo. You know, so these legendary coaches, they're not afraid to show what they do and how they do it. The secret to them is not in the workout itself. The secret is in kind of the everyday, like you said, there is the way that they manage the whole thing. And that's what I got from Dave Durden, is the way that he manages the whole group and the way that you guys believe in him and how he's doing that. It's just, it's an automatic belief. Like, you come in and you work hard for that man because you believe in what he's doing. And he gives you that, he's got that same confidence in himself too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's it's a hard, hard claim, but I feel like there's a lot of high school swimmers or swimmers that are just getting into college, that they just feel like just because they're going to join, I don't know what group, like if they're going to join Bob at ASU or join Eddie at Texas or join Dave at Cal, like, just because they join the group doesn't mean they're going to be better. What's going to make them better is that I can actually absorb what those groups are doing and become one of them. Mm-hmm. So that's like, once you become one of those groups, once you understand the dynamic, once you understand how the coach wants you to perform, how the team works, that's how you get better. It's not just by joining the team, but actually becoming part of the team. It's not just signing up and saying, oh, I am part of this group. No, it's like you actually had to put the work that all the other swimmers do. Right. And then, you get faster.
And for someone like you, you've even had to do beyond that, because you come from a different culture, different background, even learning the language. You've had to put some of those things aside, those comforts aside, and say, no, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to embrace this team, this American team, and I'm going to give everything I've got to that. And that's the evolution I've seen from you too, is that growth in you. I think at Auburn, you were still a little apprehensive to let go of some of that stuff, and now I see you and you're part of that group. You know, it's you're part of the fabric of that group too, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel like makes us being actually part of Cal, not just a swimmer that is listed under the Cal name.
Yeah. And what does what does Dave do in order to get you to do that? Is there anything specific when it comes to the Cal team? Because there's always been a buy-in. It never seems like there's anything that there's no disruption. There's no, it doesn't seem like people leave and, you know, get going into the transfer portal and trying to get out of Cal. It seems like once they're in Cal, the guys there are very happy, very satisfied to be part of that group, that unit. It seems like that he gets buy-in is what I'm saying. You know, he gets that belief. He does get that buy-in. Is there anything specific that he does for that?
I'm not sure if this sounds specific, but the great part of this is that this doesn't go, I don't think that responsibility goes under Dave. It actually goes to the group. So he passes the responsibility to the seniors and juniors.
Right.
And that goes to the sophomores and freshmen. And that's how we keep the team connected. If there is any problem, if there is any problem with the swimmers, we're always going to talk about it before we had to bring it to Dave. Like, the goal is to never bring something that is bad to Dave, that we fix it on our own. And I feel like that's how everybody stays, I guess, happy. Like, we don't see many swimmers going to the transfer portal because we try to solve our issues within the swimmers without needing to bring Dave. I mean, Dave is not a dad anymore. He's not supposed to be dealing with whatever we have to do, right? So he's supposed to be guiding us through the process of getting through college and becoming better swimmers, both in the school and in the pool. But if we have any problems, that has to be dealt with in between us. And the opposite, if everything is going well, that's because we're communicating well and we are making sure the team stays healthy.
In that sense. Yeah. What about the situation going from the team, the college team, to the pro team? How was that transition for you? Is there any adjustments you needed to make there?
Slightly, yeah. I mean, you have more time to get ready. You have more time to recover. You have more time to be a better athlete, which is essentially a pro if you're only looking for swimming performance. But it's also a con in the sense of, like, you don't have anything else if you have a bad practice, right? Like, we usually have classes. If you have a bad class, you can disconnect, go to the pool, have a good practice, and get back to the school, you know. Or if you have a bad practice, you can just disconnect and go take your school responsibilities and just forget about the bad part of your day. Now that you only have swimming, it's a challenge, but it's also, like, if you can actually manage to be doing the right things, it's definitely a benefit if you only look into swimming in perspective.
What about in terms of your studies? What did you end up getting a degree in?
In Cal, I finished getting a degree in Spanish and Portuguese, with a focus on Portuguese. And now I'm enrolling in a Spanish college online, think of computer science, which is what I intended to do in Cal. But at some point it got too hard. I couldn't do both. I couldn't swim at the level that I wanted to and do computer science at the same time. I know there's more people in my team that were able to do it. I just couldn't. So I had to choose at some point in between staying at Cal, choosing another major that I could finish on time, or just go home. And it was a hard conversation, especially with my family, to try to figure out what to do. But at the end of the day, they told me that if I would be okay choosing a major that I'm not happy with, if that gets me the years of training with the best people that I'm probably gonna ever train. You know, at that moment, I didn't have the times that I had now. So I didn't have the option to just join a different group or going to Texas or going to Bob. Like, I wasn't that kind of swimmer. So I decided to change majors, and I'm happy I did, because then that gave me 3-4 more years with Cal and join this one to prepare for the Olympics.
Right. So are you going to go back and finish after Paris?
The computer science?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal. But right now, this year, I'm just focusing on swimming.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in terms of the Spanish Federation, do they have any requirements of you in the lead up to Paris? Have you already qualified for Paris?
Yes, this year they changed the criteria to make the teams. So for this year specifically, the people that made the team didn't have to go to trials as long as they made a final at either World Championships in Fukuoka or World Championships here. And obviously swimming under the ACAT of the World Aquatics. So I got all my three events that I wanted to swim in both championships, so I don't need to go to Spanish trials.
How many do you think will end up going to Paris for Spain?
Well, I believe we have at least three four guys right now with eight cuts. Five guys with the eight cuts. We have a guy in 100 freestyle. We have a guy in a two fly. We have a guy in 100 fly. And we have me. Maybe I'm missing somebody else. And we have three relays. I don't know if the situation is clear now about taking relays or needing one or two swimmers with eight cut to be part of one relay to make it eligible to compete at Olympics. But if we can bring all three relays, we will be looking into around 10 guys making the team, which is, for us, it's an impressive amount considering that in 2012 we had two guys in the Olympics.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's very cool. Nice.
We individualize training in the pool, so why not individualize your nutrition? Erica Biney of Biney Wellness Building will help you and your swimmers get exactly what each athlete needs through genetic testing and personalized nutrition plans. So stop guessing what you should and shouldn't be putting into your body. Athletes within a few weeks have noticed they're recovering faster because they're fueling their body with what they need and staying away from what their body hates. Erica understands swimming. She gets it. She's worked with over 20 Olympians, including the fastest man in the world, Caleb Dressel. Group discounts are available, so go to Biney Wellness Building and get in touch with Erica today. That's Biney, B-E-I-N-E, wellnessbuilding.net.
Tired of settling for less than the best with your team's dryland program? Swimstrong Dryland is the answer you've been looking for. With world-class dryland programming for every age group, customized to fit your team's needs, nutritional coaching and education centered on the latest evidence-based research, leadership training and character development to promote an athlete-driven culture, sports psychology education and mental skills training, coaches' corners to promote collaboration, data-driven performance analysis, and an unrivaled family of athletes, coaches, and teams, fast swimming starts here.
So what are you trying to achieve in the next couple of weeks at altitude? I put out a story the other day where I warned people not to try and make huge gains at, a situation like you're in right now where you're at a training camp, because, you can work too hard sometimes where you get sick or injured. So you wouldn't want that. But over the next 2 weeks, what are you hoping to achieve?
Yeah, that's completely the goal. I mean, we started, I think the first session that we did here was an over 2K. Second session was an over 2.5K. So we're starting slow, specifically because of that. I mean, we're athletes, right? So our desire to get better doesn't stop. And sometimes we got to be careful with not pushing it too hard, especially in altitude. So the goal is just to get some fitness back in. I mean, right after Doha, I took a 1 week or 5 days off just to... So I took 1 week pretty relaxed. I swam like twice that week just to be with my family, enjoy the situation, share the rewards with my close people, family and friends. And the next week I started building up again. The goal to be here is to try to be to get that fitness back and be able to hit the be at the practice level times that we want to hit again. So it's just basically get it back into shape.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. And then you head back to Cal, and I guess you guys do a lot of long course work up for the next few months, right, at Cal?
We do. Now that NCAs are happening, we usually hit long course three times a week. Post NCs, we're probably going to be hitting around four or five times long course. So I think that's great. I don't think every session should be long course, because then you lose the explosive power that you can get from training yards. And I don't think everything should be yards, because obviously you need more feeling. You need the long course feeling to race fast. So I think we're having a good combination overall.
Yeah. And what do you feel about the some of the Russians, especially Rylov, like for instance, not possibly going to Paris? I mean, how do you have feelings on that one?
Well, if you only take swimming perspectives, and it sucks, it sucks that if you're an athlete you cannot compete because your country is deciding to do something that is not what you think. But obviously it's not an easy choice, neither for me neither for World Aquatics to decide whether they should be competing or not. I know that if the Russians were competing, especially in the backstreet events, they would be aiming for medals or even for winning a world records. But if they're not there, then obviously I would like to take the chance to be ranked in a higher position.
Yeah. Now at the in Doha, there was a situation where Cal teammates, you went 1-2 in the 100 back. I mean, I could see something similar happening in the 200 back at the Olympics, man. It could be a Cal sweep. It could be a 1-2-3 sweep for Cal. Is that realistic?
I think there's a chance. It's not impossible. I think right now, especially after the NCAA record that Hubert Koss posted, I think he's the favorite. But you know, anything can happen in a final. So I know Ryan is not gonna happy just to aim for silver. If he ends up getting silver, I'm sure he's gonna appreciate it. But we're all training to win. I don't think anybody of the top eight right now in the world rankings is aiming to just get third. So there's a chance. I know Destin wants to get better. He wants to get in the 154 range. I also get into 154 range. So we'll see.
We are going to see soon. That's exciting. It's the exciting part. But in terms of 154, how does that look for you? Are you looking at pushing the front end of that, or are you looking at coming off that 100 wall and pushing the back half?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I don't think I can come back faster than I did in Doha. I think it was a 28.9. Uh-huh. There's been times that I came back in 28 in freestyle in the 200 IM. So I think my second 50 and my last 50 are right on point. I think what I can get better is the third 50. I think I sprayed at 30.1. I should bring that down to 29. And probably the first 50, I think it was a 27.5 or 27.2. So I can definitely bring those first and third 50 faster than be aiming to 154 mid. That would be the perfect race.
So in Doha, when you were hitting that 30 point, were you trying to conserve then, or did you just miss the pace and then like turn around and floor it with whatever you had left, or was that like calculated?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. That was not the race strategy. The race strategy was to take it out in 56, which I did, and then hit 229s. What happened is that I was in lane five, so I was right in the middle of the pool. I could see my competitors. I could see Akins right next to me, and I think I was coming right after the underwater, which is usually typically my weakest part of the race, and I could see that I was with everybody, you know, fighting for second place or third place at the moment. So I decided to just conserve energy because I knew I have a lot left in the tank for the last one. So It wasn't a race strategy that I followed, but I did change it throughout the race. Not the first time I'm changing race strategies too. Like I also did change my strategy in the 4 AM yards when I broke the NCAA record right before Liam. So I think it's part of racing.
It makes sense why you won now, because you came off that last wall, you hit that underwater, you had that power. Now I'm going back to the workout that Coach Durden let me have with you at the altitude over Christmas, where he said, Brett, take Hugo and work on his power underwater. Now it makes sense. That's why you won the world title. It was just that one workout that we did together, right?
Yeah. Well, that did make a difference because after maybe not just a single workout, but I remember leaving OTC back to another altitude training camp in Andorra with the Spanish national team. I remember doing a lot more power than I'm used to. So, I mean, maybe it started in that workout with you.
Yeah, I'm gonna claim it, right? Yeah, no, that was awesome. It was good to see you get that win, man. And listen, I'm super excited about your what's your plan, your race plan up until Paris?
Well, right now I'm still conversation left to have with Dave about either going to the Europeans, which is just a month before the Olympics, or going to Spanish trials. But we basically have two more races, maybe San Antonio, maybe another pro series, then Europeans or Spanish trials, and then right after that Olympics. So it's very exciting. I mean, right now what we're looking into is just trying to get better. I think our Saturdays typically are the days that we can test our speeds. We maybe put Texas on and we do like, I don't know, like a 75 at pace or a 100 opener. So the goal is just to be seeing improvement every 2 weeks. And hopefully being able to achieve my goals, which is, as I said, 154, getting to the podium and, you know, being sharing that with more teammates.
Yeah. I guess you're at a point now too where it doesn't really matter that you won't have Dave with you the whole time. Like, you know, maybe in the last few weeks you might go into a training camp with Spain. Maybe at the games you can't really talk to him. So are you kind of used to that now?
Now, yes. I wasn't used to that before. I mean, 2016, I think, was my first Olympics when I was 17. And, you know, being the youngest in the team, I went without a coach. Then I think since 2016 to now, there's only been two big meets that I have my coach with me. It wasn't my everyday coach. It was my Spanish coach. I was with him and the Europeans. That was one of my best meets ever. And at the Olympics. So I feel like after so many years of competing without my coach and like having to travel from the Spanish system to the American system, like basically every year for Christmas, for the summer, for the spring, for the trials, NNCs, I feel like I'm getting a lot more experience in knowing myself and knowing what I have to do.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you doing this. What do you think we can do for swimming in terms of bringing more eyes to the pool and getting more people to, you know, watch or just, you know, get to know you? Or is there anything that you've done in the last few years to try and increase awareness for you or your brand or swimming or anything? Like, what do you think we can do?
Yeah, I haven't started actually, but I did have this idea of creating a YouTube channel. I know that's what a lot of especially young people are watching now. My own roommate, Marcus Rico, has a YouTube channel, and he's been posting about his life. He's been posting about swimming. He's been posting about training and racing. So I feel that's a great way to reach more audience in swimming. Apart from obviously social media, I think everybody now is watching way more than they used to be. They're watching way more Instagram content, TikTok content, but I feel like YouTube is looking like the next thing to do.
Cool. Well, I'd love to see a Hugo Gonzalez YouTube channel, man. Let's get it going, okay?
Let's go. Yeah.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing this and good to catch up. Good luck with the camp. I hope it goes well. And I'll be following. I'll be cheering for you, okay?
Of course. Thank you so much for the invite. And yeah, everybody that is watching now, go check out the other episodes.
Cheers, mate. Take care. Bye.